Welcome to another edition of the Hotline Podcast here with handicapper Rafael Esparza. We're going to break down the Pac-12 games in week six. Can't believe it's already week six in October. Rafael, how are you this week?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I am pretty good, thanks. Before we get rolling, where can people find you?
You can find me over at DocSports.com. You can find me on social media on Twitter at VSI DocSports. You can also find me on Instagram, Rafael Esparza.
So before we get rolling, and there's only four games this week, I was wondering if you have any big picture thoughts on the Pac-12 from a handicapper's perspective, whether it's betting trends that you've seen develop, specific stuff on specific teams, anything pop out after September?
I would think on how well the whole conference is. I mean, last year, me and you had this discussion when week one and just how bad they were last year in the Pac-12, but up and down, not just from like the middle of the pack where Utah is still playing well, Washington State, even though they had a bad loss, last two losses in the conference, but they could have easily won those games. So I think the parity in the Pac-12 has been really, really good. And like I said, which they needed. I mean, Oregon, yeah, they lost to Auburn, should have won that game, but they're still ranked 13 in the country. So that means they could still climb up because, you know, Auburn's going to take some losses. Probably LSU is going to take some losses. Maybe Wisconsin could take some losses. They could move up in the rankings. Washington, still 15. The same thing where I think maybe when the season started, maybe the Pac-12, people maybe just thought it was going to be another laughable conference and easy wins. But don't sleep on the Pac-12 this year. I think the parity has been probably my biggest surprise.
Yeah, it certainly has been. You know, the conference has got some quality wins. I mean, there's no way it is the worst of the Power Five. It is better than the ACC, there's no doubt. It's probably better than the Big 12, on par, maybe Big 10-ish. But it's just missing that one elite team that you see in every other conference. But otherwise, it has really performed pretty well.
I think the teams that have won losses, the Oregons, Cals, Washingtons, even Arizona, Colorado, Arizona State, I think one of those teams I think is going to keep on moving up in the polls. And like I said, I would not be shocked if it's Oregon or Washington. I think one of those two teams are going to be there and all said and done. Granted, they only have won losses, but I only see maybe two teams maybe that's going to stay undefeated.
Yeah, and we've got a real interesting week. Even though there are only four games, I think the quarterback injuries are and some other spots, too, make it very, very interesting. So let's get rolling here. I was thinking we could start, in fact, with a game that involves an injury, Arizona-Colorado. Buffs are coming off a bye, and they're favored at home by four, and we don't know. Laviska Shenault is a game-day decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge game day decision on that one. It's very funny. I mean, everyone had Arizona last week at home coming off the bye week, and then boom, no Tate. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, man. So, yeah, it's very interesting. And you said there's a lot of missing quarterbacks, but a lot of missing stars that could be in this Pac-12. This game's going to be very interesting, this Washington. Colorado Arizona game. The number has not really fluctuated, which I thought it would be. I thought the bettors were going to really jump on Colorado, open up at 3. Now it's around 4. I really thought that number would have probably moved by now, but it's been pretty stagnant. The Colorado money is going to probably come in, waiting to see what happens to Tate. I'm going to wait to see. And there's a couple games, not just in the Pac-12, that I'm telling people you need to wait to see until like Friday to see who's playing and who's not playing, because these numbers can move big time.
And Kevin Sumlin said Monday that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Khalil Tate and his hamstring, so Colorado's got to prepare for Grant Gunnell and Tate. And do you think there'll be some kind of clarity before game day? Would you say Saturday is more likely?
Saturday is when the public will probably either read in the paper, read in social media if he is playing, if he's not playing. Then that number is probably going to go haywire. So if you like Colorado and you maybe roll the dice.
How much can a quarterback's health move a line? Is there a standard number that is associated with a QB's health?
I always tell people it's anywhere between 3 to 7, depending on if you're on the road, if you're away, who is the quarterback. And not every quarterback is the same quarterback. So I always tell people it's between 3 and 7. In both college and in NFL, because you have to think about what's money going to come in even though you put it on seven, maybe the public's going to jump all over that plus seven. And then by kickoff, it's going to be around four and five, where you thought, oh, wow, maybe I should have moved it to five instead of opening it at clear seven. It's a very variation when it comes on who that quarterback is and who they're playing.
Well, and so another game with same issue, Oregon State at UCLA. Bruins, last I saw, were about a six-point favorite, but we don't know if Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to play. Austin Burton actually looked all right in the last series in Tucson, but one series is a lot different than a whole game. What do you think on that one?
Yeah, he's still listed as questionable. I can't remember if it's his left or right ankle. He's still listed as questionable. And you know what? I like the way UCLA's been playing. And you said it, even with the backup quarterback, they were still able to move the ball. I just think that they're starting to play as a team now, where maybe they weren't playing as a team and gelling as a team right when it get go. This number was opened up before we found out if the quarterback was playing or not. Round eight, now it's bound down to a pretty much a solid six. There is a couple of six and a halfs out there, and I would not be shocked if UCLA is the play here. Even though they're 0-4 against the spread against a team with a losing record, UCLA always plays who they're playing with. If it's a losing record, they usually stink. I stink up the joint on how they run it. The total is a little bit surprising for me. Open up at 67, only got bet down to 65.5. The last seven meetings between these two teams, six of them have gone under the total. And now you're telling me maybe a backup quarterback's going to be playing? I thought that total would have been around 61. So I think there's great value, even right now, with the total at 65.5.
And even when Thompson Robinson was healthy, UCLA wasn't scoring. Other than the second half against Washington State, the Bruins haven't even hit 20 points. So now Oregon State's defense isn't very good, but you're right. I mean, you would think that this game's going to come in, you know, it's going to be 20-something to 20-something.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit shocking. I mean, I know 2 years ago what UCLA beat them was like 42-0 or something like that. Ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, they're not scoring points this year. And I know Oregon State gives up a lot of points, but I think prior to Brianna, I just think the total was just a tad too high.
Another game whose spread has been influenced by quarterback situation, Cal at Oregon. The Ducks are, I think, up to 18. Chase Garbers is done probably for the year. Cal's going to have to rely on Devin Monster, who did not look very good second half against ASU. But at the same time, he had not had a whole lot of reps because he was ineligible. So he wasn't even getting second team reps. In theory, this week, he's kind of gotten up to speed. You like the Ducks with all those points, or would you rather play Cal's defense?
Well, let's see. I liked Oregon last week because I thought the offense was going to blow up the Stanford Cardinals. And really, 21-6, I even told you on your show last week that I thought the over was the easiest bet. And I'm still eating crow. I think that's why I'm still stuffed, and not from dinner, but eating crow. It all depends on how the Oregon's going to go. Are they going to play like how they played against Nevada and Montana, where they're able to move the ball? Or is Stanford's defense maybe is not as bad as we thought it was, and maybe they're going to take a playbook of California, who has outstanding defense? So, I think if Cal's defense plays just like they did, like Stanford did last week, then there's no way I think Oregon covers this 18 points. I'll take Cal plus the 18 just because of that defense, because we all know if you push around those wide receivers in Oregon, they don't like to be pushed around. So I'm going to probably take the plus points in this one, plus the 18, because I saw last week Stanford push them around, and they were MIA in that second half.
Yeah, the Oregon did not, you know, they won 20, I think it was 21-6, but it was not overly impressive. They certainly had some injuries on the offensive line. They just didn't quite seem to be clicking. They're interesting. They are winning, but you don't watch them and feel like they're playing at their max.
No, and it's their defense is the reason why they're winning. I mean, I think they were in the negative, if I'm not mistaken, on running the ball last week against Stanford. So I just think the spread was just way too high. Backup quarterback, yes, I do agree on that. But he had reps all practice. He knows he's a starter all week long, so I think he was going to play a lot better. Give me the plus 18.
Another big spread, Washington at Stanford. Huskies up by, I think, favored by about 16, and we don't know. KJ Costello is, according to David Shaw, between doubtful and questionable. How do you see that one?
Yeah, I mean, doubtful and questionable usually tells us that most likely he's not playing at all. So that's why that number is the way it is. 16.5, it does seem a lot of points. But again, with Costello not playing, then Washington knows that they need some big wins with some big numbers to maybe creep up in the polls. Yes, they beat USC. They did cover that game and won by 14, which a lot of money came in on USC late. They need a win like they did against BYU. Everyone bet BYU plus the 6.5. And what did Washington do? They came out and stomped them 45-19. That's what type of game they're going to need here. And it would not shock me if that's the type of game they play, because I think they know, hey, we're still not out of the complete hunt of winning the Pac-12 or even moving up in the rankings. We know Oregon's is probably going to be there unless they have a falter off. I like Washington, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. I would probably lay the 6.5. I would wait to see if the public bets it down and maybe gets a better number. Even though I know the home team does really good between these two teams, I think the home team has covered 4 out of 5, and the Huskies always struggle at Stanford. I think only covering 1 out of their last 5 games there. But I would say with the quarterback injury, this is something I would think maybe Washington probably blows them out.
Yeah, Washington has not won at Stanford Stadium since 2007, I believe. So what happens, let's say Friday, Stanford announces KJ Costello is playing. What do you think happens to that line right there at 16?
Then I think it goes back down to what we originally were going to post it, like between 12 and 13. Stanford will still be a double digit. I don't think it's going to move that much just because everyone knows that trend. You said that the Washington has a one in Stanford. Stanford held Oregon's offense to only 21 points. So the number is not going to go too wild because we don't want to drop it to, let's say, what originally should be like maybe 10 Washington, but then we would get bombarded of Stanford or Washington money. So I think we'll probably go back to the number we originally were going to post if he was going to play, probably between 12 and 13.
So if I've got a nickel, where should I put it this week in the Pac-12?
I'm going to say that under game that we were talking about, I just don't see that much points, 62.5 of Arizona, Colorado going, even with Tate playing or not playing. I just don't see a lot of points being scored in that game. 62.5 is a lot. I would think the under is probably the best bet.
And you got something you like nationally?
There's a lot of – if you look at it, I was doing some research on it more this afternoon, but there's a lot of garbage games on it. Where's the real games coming? I guess the one game I'm really excited to watch, and I always like to watch these type of games, Air Force Navy, Air Force 3.5-point favorite. Always love watching that matchup. But you know what? I'm going to really watch Alabama, even though they've been blowing out numbers. But now they're the number one team. Now they know that, hey, if we have a bad showing, let's say lose or win by 3 points with one of these teams that we should be blowing out, they may pull that number one like they did with Clemson. So I'm going to see how bad Alabama starts beating teams. They might be beating them worse than we've seen the last couple ones, but I really enjoyed the Air Force Navy matchup. I can't wait to watch that one.
Gotcha. All righty. Well, already looking forward to next week, and I appreciate you joining me here.
Not a problem. You have a fantastic rest of the week and a fantastic weekend.
You too. Thanks very much, Rafael.